Welcome to the Redemption Life Church Podcast. Get ready for a powerful, life-changing message of freedom and encouragement. When you are in the Brookville area, join us for an exciting and uplifting worship experience. Times and locations available at www.redlifechurch.com. Follow us on Twitter at Red Life Church and like us on Facebook at facebook.com/redlifechurch.
Amen, amen. So if you don't really know what that video was saying, it was a little like, I don't know what they were talking about in that video. Look, essentially, it's what Justin was talking about is we don't want to have a youth group that is just getting kids off the streets. We don't want to have a youth group that is just focused on keeping kids, you know, off the streets, out of trouble. We want to have a youth group that is getting kids off the streets and then equipping them to go back into the streets, go back into their schools, go back into the hallways, and to just boldly and courageously preach the good news of Jesus Christ. And so that's what we are as a youth ministry, if you didn't know. And so for those of you who didn't know, and Pastor Justin actually said it, but my name is Pastor Zach Gibson. I'm the student pastor here. And what you see here is kind of how we run a normal Sunday night, how we run a normal takeover Sunday night. We got the worship, we got the message, all that. The only difference is it's a little bit shorter and there's a time for kids to just go crazy and run around. So some of you adults, you guys would probably rather come to a youth group and you'd be crazy and all that, but it's all good. The first thing I just really want to start out by talking about is there's this test that I took when I was in middle school. And I don't know if they make you take it in Indiana, but this test basically, based off of your personality and based off of your character traits, it tells you what job you should pursue when you grow up. So for me, based off of my character traits, based off of my personality, the job that they gave me was doctor. Now, some of you guys think, oh, Zach, that's awesome. Like, you're probably smart, all that stuff. Like, that's awesome. But there's just a couple reasons why doctor would just been a terrible job decision for me. The first reason is because I will pass out the minute I see any kind of blood. Like, I'm gone. I'm on the ground. Like, it's over. The second reason is because, look, I absolutely hate bodily fluids. Like, I get that God made us perfect in his image and all that, but bodily fluids have to be the least perfect thing about us, because literally, like, thank God that no kid has puked at the youth group yet, but I know that day is coming when, like, a kid's going to puke, and I'm going to see it, and honestly, I might just walk away because God will just miraculously clean it up somehow. I don't know. Lee or Val will do it, but, I just absolutely hate bodily fluids, so that's why being a doctor would be a terrible job decision for me. And so we had a family friend who took this test, and based off of her personality, based off of her character traits, the job that she was given was stripper. And under the job details for stripper, it said somebody who strips furniture. She was a friend. Your guys' minds were in like a completely different place. Like, I'm glad you guys are in church because you obviously need some Jesus. But this just got me thinking, and it was just, from such an early age, you know, the world begins to classify us and tell us what our lives will amount to. And we start chasing after these things that the world states as meaningful and will fall under the classification as what we're supposed to do with our lives. You know, this was really no different 2,000 years ago. 2,000 years ago, you know, if you came from a family of farmers, you were typically going to be a farmer. If you came from a family of fishermen, you were typically going to be a fisherman. I don't know, you know, if you came from a family of traders, you're going to become a trader. Like, you weren't really encouraged to step outside of what the world had already perceived you as. You see, that all changed one day when a carpenter was led by the Spirit of God to go out and do something that would absolutely change eternity. If you didn't pick up on that, I'm talking about the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So if you guys want to open up your Bibles with me as we open up to Joel 2, 28 through 30a, and we're also going to be looking at the beginning of 32. It says this. It says, "Then after doing all those things, I will pour out my Spirit upon all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams, and your young men will see visions. In those days, I will pour out my Spirit even on servants, men, and women alike, and I will cause wonders in the heavens and on the earth." Verse 32 says, "But everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. So I just want to pray just to open us up. Dear Heavenly Father, just thank you for every individual person in here, Lord. Lord, I pray, Lord, that you just speak individually to whoever it is in here, Lord. Lord, that you would just speak to them, Lord, and that they would just begin to just respond to what you're speaking to them, Lord. And we just pray this all in your name. Amen. So we see that when we accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior, our lives are giving a new meaning. Our lives are giving us a new definition to our lives. You see, look, I don't know how many of you guys know this, but God didn't pour his spirit out on the church so that we could just binge watch Netflix all day. Am I right? And so, look, when we accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior, it gives us this new meaning. And look, God poured his spirit out on us so that we can go and disciple nations. Look, God poured his spirit out on us so that we could go and do the things that he's calling us to do. Look, God gave Jesus the carpenter more meaning than making probably the most perfect tables we've ever seen. You see, God's giving you more meaning to your life. See, if you're a student here, God's giving you more meaning than just going to school all day and getting good grades. And if you're a parent in here, look, God's got a better meaning for you than just working a 9-to-5 job just to put food on the table. See, God poured his spirit out on the church so that we can do more. He wants the church to be something more than a building that you come to once a week, hear some good music, hear a good message, and then dodge as many people as you can to get out of the parking lot fast enough to watch whatever game's on that day. You see, God poured his spirit out on the church so that we could see him do the impossible. God poured his spirit out on the church so that we can see things be done that nobody thought could ever get done. See, God poured his spirit out on the church so that we can reach the people that nobody thought could ever get reached. You see, we're usually hindered from seeing these things because the church starts to do things out of a spirit of religion instead of out of a spirit of a relationship. You see, when the church starts to do things out of a spirit of religion, is division tends to occur. You see, division tends to occur, and there's division between ideology and theology, and there becomes division between denominations. And the point that I really want to hit on today, the point I really want to hit on this message, is the division that occurs between generations. Because what really happens when the church starts to do things out of a spirit of religion is they usually tell the young that they have to wait their turn until they can cross over into the older generation. You see, what the church typically does out of a spirit of religion is that they tell the young that they can't have positions of leadership or authority or influence because of fear of the mistakes that they're going to make. You see, the church, God wants to use young people. God wants to use young people to build his church. And see, God didn't pour his spirit out on the church so that we could just have the old. Look, God poured his spirit out on the church so that we can have one church with two generations. Now, I know that there's multiple generations, you know, in this room represented, but I just want to simplify things, and I just want to break it down between the young generation and the old generation, just really simplify it. And so what am I talking about when I talk about one church and two generations? See, I'm talking about the old and the young coming together and using their separate gifts and abilities to see God do more. To see God do more. Some of you may be saying, well, how do I know if I'm in the young or if I'm in the old? Well, if you have to ask, typically you're going to be in the old. I'm just kidding. So why is there this need for one church, two generations? First reason is young people always move culture. Young people are at the forefront of an ever-changing culture. Now, some of you older folks, you guys might be pushing back on that a little bit, but I guarantee that the skinny jean trend was not started by a 64-year-old man. I just guarantee it didn't happen, nor should it ever really happen. Like, I guess 63 and under, you're good, but 64 and under, you know, stay away from it. And just another example, and here, I want to take a poll in here. How many Facebook users I got? Raise your hand if you're a Facebook user in here. Raise your hand if you're a Facebook user. If your hand's not up, you're probably lying, and that's in church, and that's just extra bad. I'm just kidding. But do you guys know, a lot of you guys know this, but just keep it a secret for the people who don't. Do you know who invented Facebook and why it was invented? You see, Facebook was invented by a college student to connect with other college students. But what's it used for now? It's like CNN, like Debate Central, and like grandmas posting pictures of their cute grandkids and all that. Like it completely lost its meaning in this life. So we see that young people are constantly shaping the culture and the world around us. But what could happen? Just get this. What could happen if we gave them more influence in our church? What could happen if we gave them more influence, authority in our church? Some of you guys might be getting a little tense in here, but I just want to go back to the scriptures and see. You see, look at the beginning of Joel 2:28. It says, "Then, after doing all those things, I will pour out my spirit upon all people." Then look at the end of that verse. It says, "Your young men will see visions." Your young men will see visions. Because this is what happens when a young person is filled with the Holy Spirit. They see visions. And in all the years of being and leading youth ministry, look, I've learned that if you give a student authority, if you give a student influence over something, they will come up with ideas that will absolutely blow you away. Like we have student leadership that for our youth group, and they meet. We meet like once a month every Sunday or Saturday morning. And look, some of the ideas that come out of that, look, they're absolutely like I could never think of them. Look, we got students, like Justin said, leading worship and picking the songs and all this stuff because we just give them influence and they come out with stuff that just absolutely blows me away every single time. But you see, we're typically hindered from seeing these visions in action because the church is notorious. They have this notorious saying that I absolutely hate it. I absolutely hate the saying. And they say that, well, the youth are the church of tomorrow. But the last time that I checked, the minute you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you are added to the church that moment. Listen, youth, listen to me right now. Youth, you are not the church of tomorrow. You are the church of today. Look, give these kids authority. Give them influence. And then when they mess up, look, come right on the side of them and just lead them and guide them into overcoming these mistakes. You see, if Jesus didn't want to use young people, then why did he tell Peter, who scholars believe to be anywhere between 16 and 25, why did he tell Peter, "On this rock, on you, Peter, I will build my church"? And you see, and then Jesus goes out and he finds young people and he finds James and John and Bart and Andy and on and on and on. Look, Jesus goes out and he finds people, young people, and he powers them to know Jesus, and then he unleashes them so that we can see God do things that are completely unimaginable. And look, and then you see, because of this, look, Acts 2, the Holy Spirit comes on the day of Pentecost, and it says, and Peter preaches this powerful message, and it says that 3,000 people were added to the church that day. And you go a little further, and you look into Acts 4, and it says that 5,000 men were added to the church that day, and that's not including women or children, so anywhere between 15,000 and 20,000 people were out of the church. And then you go on a little further into Acts 8, and it says that the church grew so much that they couldn't even count. And this all happened because God put his spirit in a bunch of young people to go and take the gospel to the ends of the earth. You see, if you're young in here, you're probably pumped up. You're probably jacked up. You're probably ready to go and get after. You're like, "Move over, old man." Like, the young people are coming through. And look, God wants to be pumped up. God wants you to be jacked up. But this brings me to point number two. When you're young, you are dumb. And all the old people said, amen. Quick story. I told this to the youth group one time. And they still make fun of me for it. But one time when I was young and dumb, I'm still young, a little less dumb, but one time when I was young and dumb, for some reason, the fun thing to do was just to run around and just run as hard as we could in the garage doors. Like, I don't know what demon possessed us to do that, but that was just what we did. And so I remember this one time very vividly. We were running around the neighborhood hitting garage doors, and we got to this house, and my friend said, "Yo, I want you to run as hard as you possibly can into that garage door." You know, like, I couldn't get shut up, so I'm like, you know, I'm not a punk, so like I step back, I get a good planter foot, and then I get some excellent takeoff speed, I get some good arc on my jump, and I made some solid contact with that garage door. And so, you know, I come down, I'm high-fiving my friends. Like, honestly, in that moment, I was ready to go get some more garage doors. That's what I was ready to do in that moment. But then I heard something that absolutely turned me white as a ghost. I heard, "What did you just do to my garage door?" Now, I turned to the man and said, "I'm sorry, for leaving the dent the size of a chubby eighth grade boy in your garage door. I'll pay for any damage. I mean, my parents will pay for any damage, because that's what we do, right? I'm really sorry." I'm just kidding. I did none of that. Like, I was gone. The minute that I heard him say, "What did you do to my garage door?" Like, I was out of there. Probably probably more impressive than the dent that I left in his garage door was how fast that chubby eighth grade boy could run. Like, I was out of there. I was gone. Fastest man alive in that moment. But you see, this is just an example of being young and dumb. See, look at Joel 2:28 again. It says, "I will pour out my spirit upon all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams." You see, Joel's painting a picture for us here. Joel's painting a picture for us here. Now, I'm not that old, but Justin's getting up there. He's got four kids. That's kind of getting up there. And what happens when you get old? You get tired. Some of you guys are thinking, I would never want to be 17 again. But you're lying to yourself. Because remember when you were 17 and you could run around all night and you had all this energy? And remember when your car wasn't disgusting from your kids because there weren't like rotten Cheerios everywhere? And remember this? Oh, remember this? Remember when you could eat whatever you wanted and it had absolutely zero repercussions on your body? You remember that? Like, those were the days. But now what happens? You go to work, you come home from work, you eat dinner, and then you fall asleep on the couch at 8:30 watching Seinfeld reruns. But you still dream, right? And who has the energy to run after those dreams? Look, young people do. But you got to remember, young people, we're not that bright. We think we know a lot, but we really don't know a whole lot. You see, get this. What if the dreamers and the visionaries came together and were moving in one direction? What could happen? See, let's keep reading. Look, Joel 2:28-38 says, "And afterward I pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days." Verse 30 says, don't miss this. Verse 30 it says, "I will cause wonders in the heavens and on the earth." Look, we will see the wonders of God. Now, I don't know about you guys, but this absolutely pumps me up. Because I want to see more and more of God's wonders right here at Red Life. See, look, I don't want Red Life to just be a building. Look, I don't want Red Life to just be a passive church that's just sitting back and watching all this stuff happen to Brookville and Franklin County. I want to be a church that is aggressively advancing the kingdom of God right here. See, I want to be a church that sets this fire in Brookville, in little Brookville. I want this church to be set afire here, and I want it to spread and connect with other fires. And so we're just seeing God move in just completely unimaginable ways. You see, I don't want our youth group to just be a youth group where it's just a bunch of kids who come to Red Life. See, I want our youth group to be a mixture of kids who go to Red Life and kids who have never even stepped foot inside a church, coming together and experiencing God's presence in such a way that there is no human explanation except for the glory of God. See, I want to see God doing the unimaginable, the unexplainable, the impossible right here at Red Life. See, this brings me to kind of my final point. You guys like when the youth pastor speaks, because it's always, he speaks to kids, we've got like 5 to 10 second attention span, so it's usually real quick. But the point that I really want to hit on is, look, we want to see people coming into everlasting relationships with the one and only God. You see, Joel 2:32a says, "And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." You see, this is an inclusive statement. This isn't exclusive. Look, when Joel says, "Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord," he's not just talking about people who are perfect and got all that stuff together. You see, Joel's talking about people who are so far from God, who are so jacked up, messed up, that they realize that they have a need for a Savior, so they call out to God for redemption. You see, Joel's talking about people just like me and just like you. You see, if you're in here and you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, like I don't want you to think that this message isn't for you. I don't want you to think that this church isn't for you, because like if you don't know, look, God loves you so much. God loves you so much that he literally bankrupted heaven so they could come into a relationship with you. You see, and in a moment, look, I just really encourage you. You can come talk to me. You can talk to Pastor Justin. You can talk to our elders or our deacons. But we're going to have a moment where you kind of go into life groups and you talk just a little bit. But look, talk to someone. Don't let this stirring in your heart just die. Look, if you're really feeling this, talk to somebody right now. But you see, and these people that you're going to talk to, look, they're not here to tell you how messed up you are. They're not here to tell you how jacked up you are. They're here to love you the exact same way, because they know the love that comes from Jesus Christ. And so, look, they're here to love you that exact same way. But you see, I want to see people coming into everlasting relationships with God among the old and among the young. You see, that only happens if we're one church and two generations. You see, Red Life has always kind of embodied this one church, two generations mentality. You know, I mean, they hired me for one, but you know, also, you know, like, oh, that's bad, but you know, they put students in positions of influence and authority. Like Justin said, we got kids serving in the children ministry right now. We got kids doing things all over the church. And also, look, if you don't know, look, they believe in the next generation. Pastor Justin Lewin, they believe in the next generation. Look, they sent Eric away to go and hone this God-given ability that he has. Look, they believe God using and growing the next generation. But, you see, I kind of came down with these three little points that we can do for if you're young, if you're old, and what we can do as the church. So the first thing is if you're young. If you're young in here, listen up. If you're asleep the whole time, listen up. You are the church of now. You're the church of now. Look, God doesn't want to use you in 8 years to build his church. God wants to use you right now to build his church. Second thing is don't be afraid. Don't be afraid to pursue these visions that God's placed on your life. Don't be afraid to pursue them with everything you have, with reckless abandon. Don't be afraid to pursue those. The third thing you can do if you're young is you can humble yourself. You can humble yourself to know that you don't know everything. You don't know what's best for you. And you can learn from those who have gone before you. If you're old in here, this is what you can do. The first thing you can do in here is you can invest. You can invest in the generation below you. You can guide and direct them and help them overcome mistakes. The second thing you can do is you can give influence and allow mistakes. Look, don't be afraid to give youth leadership. Don't be afraid to give them authority over something and the fear of the mistakes they might make. Look, just let them do it. And sometimes the best way to learn is to learn from your mistakes. Amen? And so the last thing you can do is you can realize that you're not too old. You are not too old to advance God's kingdom wherever you are right now. Look, don't think you're ever too old to pursue these dreams that God has placed on your heart. Look, there's something that you know, God really showed me one day, but it's, if you are not dead, you are not done. If you're not dead, you're not done. Don't ever think that you're done advancing the kingdom of God. If you are not dead, you are not done. And then here's what we can do as a church. We can do it as a church. First thing we do is we can pray. And we pray for God to do the unthinkable, the unimaginable, right here at Red Life. We can pray for our leaders. Pray for our children's ministry, the leaders in the children's ministry that they'd pour into these kids. Pray for our youth ministry. Pray for us to gain leaders, to see these kids just become the world changers that they're called to be. Pray for any ministry, really, the food bank, any ministry in Red Life. Like, pray that God's just advancing his kingdom through it. Pray that we're one church and two generations. Same thing you do is you can connect. You can get connected. Look, if we want to reach more people with the gospel, then we need more people involved. If we want to reach more people with the gospel, we need more people involved. Look, because I am the student pastor, look, I'm going to take some time to talk about the student ministry and see if I can get some leaders out of you guys. Look, we have four leaders, including myself and my wife, and the other two leaders, look, they are awesome. They're there every Sunday night. They're pouring into these kids. They're doing an amazing job. But if we want to see more kids come into relationships with Jesus, look, we need more people involved. We need more people involved to lead life groups for these kids. Because if you didn't know, we actually do student life groups after the message every week. So we need more people to lead life groups. We need more people who are dedicated and who are willing to give up a Sunday night to come and just hang out with a bunch of crazy students. Look, and if student ministry isn't your thing, if middle school and high school students aren't your thing, look, serve in wherever you're passionate at. See, God's placed passions on your heart. Look, use those and serve and advance his kingdom wherever you're at. Look, if you're already serving enough, look, get connected in a life group. In a minute, we're gonna give you a little taste of what life groups are like. But if you're not in a life group yet, look, it is probably, if you already know Jesus, then it's the second most important decision you'll make all day is getting connected into a life group. Look, that's where you're really going to grow and do life with one another. Look, you need to get in a life group. Maybe you're serving, you're in a life group. Look, maybe through this message, God's just calling you to invest a little more in the generation below you. Look, all it is, look, there's this study out, and it says 70% of high school students will stop going to church and just give up on God completely once they get into college. 70%. And in the 30% that they saw that actually stayed in church, there was a couple of deciding factors. And one of the deciding factors is that somebody from the older generation invested in them, poured into them, just spent time with them, asked them how they're doing, you know, just talked to them for just like 5 minutes on a Sunday morning. That's all it takes just to make a kid feel loved. Maybe through this message, look, God's calling you just to invest in your family a little more, to invest in your kids, to see your kids grow into the people that God's calling them to be, to see your kids and your family just grow into the revivalist, the world changer that God has placed on the calling on each and every one of our lives. And lastly, the last thing that we can do as a church is we can realize. We can realize that God wants to use you to build his kingdom, whether you're old or whether you're young. We can realize the need for young people to be involved, but we can also realize the need for the young to come, or for the old to come and guide and direct them. Look, if you don't know Jesus in here as your Lord and Savior, look, you can realize that he loves you so much. That he loves you so much that he sent his one and only son to die for your sins. He paid the price for you to come into an everlasting relationship with him. Lastly, realize that God can do unimaginable, unexplainable things right here, right now. So if you just bow your heads, I just want to pray for us. Dear Lord, I just pray for every single person in here, God. I pray, Lord, that you are just moving, you're shaping their lives, God. Lord, I pray, Lord, that they realize the need for there to be one church in two generations. Lord, I pray, Lord, that they realize the need, Lord, to just get connected and to just advance your kingdom, Lord, to serve and to get into a life group. God, I pray, Lord, that you are just, you're stirring something in them, God, where they are just seeking your face, Lord, with every single thing that they have, Lord, that we are just seeing Franklin County completely flipped upside down because of what you are stirring inside this congregation, Lord, and we thank you for that.
Thanks for listening. I'm Pastor Justin, and I believe Jesus has begun a transformational work in your heart through this word you've just heard. I'd love to hear about what God is doing in your life. If you've made a commitment to follow him today or have a testimony to share about what God's doing, head on over to redlifechurch.com. Follow the tabs of the Get Connected page and send us a message. While you're there, you can also give to Red Life Church and to the work God is doing here in Brookville, Indiana. God's blessings upon you and your family.